So our theme that we began a couple of weeks ago in our services, the characters of Christmas. Looking at some of the characters in the Christmas story that maybe don't usually get much attention. And today we're talking about angels. You knew that anyway. So we're thinking about angels. Now, if you're like me and you can remember back a long, long way, or if you're a bit younger than me and you don't have to remember quite so far, probably many of us have probably been in nativity plays as children, either at school or through church. And have any of you got to play the angel or some angels? Yeah. Can't see many hands, many boy hands going up. But yeah, it was always the well-behaved girls. And there they are. Look at those little cherubs. Look at them. And so often playing the role of Gabriel or other angels. And I just wonder what the person who did the casting for this little sketch, little nativity play we're going to watch now on video, I wonder what they reflected on after this event. Hopefully we'll be able to watch something on YouTube. That apparently that was if anybody's got any safeguarding concerns, apparently that young girl is 27 now, and apparently it was also posted by the older girl who kept looking at her. Apparently that's her older sister, and she posted it just to get it to her little sister apparently. But anyway, there we are. So we're thinking of angels this morning. I'm guessing angels are something that many of us have been sort of aware of in our subconscious and but never seen. Now some of you may have seen an angel, may have seen many angels, I don't know. If so, that must have been quite an experience. Others maybe wonder, did I see an angel? Maybe, you know, some situation you found yourself in, you're in a need, and then somebody turns up and helps you and then disappears. You think, who was that? Who was that person who helped? And, you know, perhaps we'll never know. But angels have been around for a very long time. They appear through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. They are surprisingly recurrent through the whole Bible. Genesis 3:24, God placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And in Revelation 26, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches, that I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. And I found with a little search through my online Bible around about 380 references to angels and cherubim and different angelic forms. It's quite a lot. So what do we know about angels? Angels were created by God. That's the first thing to say. They're created beings. Colossians 1, for in him, that's in God, all things in Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So angels are part of God's creation as we are, as all that we can see are and is. Angels worship God. Again, a quote from the Bible, from Hebrews. And when God brings his firstborn, that's Jesus, into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And at the other end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 4, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. And day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So angels are worshipping God, even around the very throne of God. angels are there praising and worshipping him. Now, there are different types of angels, different types of angelic beings. Anybody got any? We've mentioned some already, actually. Anybody? Cherubs or cherubim, that's right. Cherubs, cherubim, any others? Seraphim. Surprisingly, carols aside, very rare mention in the Bible, only appears in Isaiah. And then there's living creatures that are described not only in Revelation, but you know, other things like that. So we've got cherubim, seraphim, living creatures, and then just this generic term, angels, as well, that gets mentioned a lot. It's different types. And then look, from what you can pick, you know, when you read these angels with two wings, these angels with six wings, these angels with different faces, these angels with eyes all over their wings, as we've just heard. I mean, there's some strange types. They have different ranks, apparently. I only know of two. There's angel and archangel. So there's clearly, that sort of suggests that there's angels that oversee or have greater responsibility as well. Different names. Any names of any angels that we know? Any others? Michael. Any others? Correct. The only two named angels are Gabriel and Michael, but it'd probably be fair to assume that they're not the only two angels that have got names. They have different roles. So we know that we know some of the story of Christmas, and we know what a lot of what we're going to look at this morning, probably the messages that the angels brought. So they're messengers. Angels bring messages to God, but they do his will and they do different things. Some have been quite difficult ones to read about. The Passover story in Egypt. What happened to the firstborn of Egypt was described as an angel that carried out that act. Angels protect God's people in battle. Angels release God's people from prison in Peter. Things like that. The angels have done different things at God's direction, and they serve him. And because of that prompting from God, and because God cares for us, the angels can serve us too. So there's different kind of things that we know at the moment about angels, but we're not going to try and do a big study on angels, because that's it. That's my knowledge done there. But we're going to look at the message of Christmas. What message did the angels bring at Christmas? Now, anybody familiar with a carol that involves some shepherds sometimes washing their socks? Now, on the thinking about, so while shepherds watched their flocks by night, or seeds on the ground. Now, if you know that carol well, you can skip forward a few verses. Can anybody remember what's the first line of the fifth verse of While Shepherds Watched? And the fact we're doing angels will be a clue. Thus spake the seraph. Thank you very much. Thus spake the seraph. Anybody know what thus spake the seraph means? It's not necessarily some phrase that we'd use very often, but basically, thus spake the seraph means that's what the angel said. Okay, so we're going to look at, throughout the sort of bit more time through this morning, we're going to look at some of the messages that the angels brought at Jesus, about Jesus and from God to us under the title, Thus Spake the Seraph, or That's What the Angel Said. And I'm going to need some help, because we're going to act this out, because I know you've all been preparing your lines and learning them well. I know you haven't seen them before. So I'm going to act the role of the narrator. And there's five scenes to this little drama that we're going to do as we go through, not all in one chunk. So in the first scene, I would very much like two volunteers. And I don't want to be sexist, but at this particular point, I'd like them both to be men. Actually, that's not true. I'd like one of them to be a man, and the other one could be either. Stephen's hand was up first. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Right. Okay. So, this is going to be good. Right. Okay. So, here's your words. One of you I'd like to be Zechariah, and one of you I'd like to be Gabriel. You can decide which. Which one's which?
Yes, he's Zechariah. He's Gabriel.
Okay, Gabriel, if you'd like to just come off stage a second. Yeah. Okay. Hey, right, now Zechariah, you might not know this, but this is the altar, okay? And this is the bowl of incense.
Yeah.
Okay, good, excellent, right, okay. Okay, a long time ago, there was a king called Herod. And he was not a very nice man. In fact, he was not a very nice man at all. He's like, he will come later. But remember that. When he's in a sketch a bit later on, you remember that. Okay, I like that. Okay, good. He was not a very nice man at all. In fact, he was a very, very bad man, as we shall see. Unless you're booing me. Which also, at that time, there was a priest called Zechariah. And he was a good man and a holy man. And he was married to Elizabeth, who was a good and holy woman. And although they were blessed in many ways, they had never been able to have children. Now it so happened that on that one occasion, Zechariah was chosen to burn incense before the Lord in the temple. Zechariah carefully, anxiously, respectfully carried the incense to the altar and began to pray. In fact, he lay on the ground face down. In prayer, and cried out to God. Suddenly, an angel appeared and when Zechariah saw him, he was gripped with fear. Good idea. But then the angel said,
"Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
Now Zechariah had never seen an angel before, and he was shocked by the news. And so he asked the angel,
"How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is going along in age."
And the angel said to him,
"I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of the Lord, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news."
Thank you very much. That was the first message brought by an angel during our Christmas story. And it was a message of preparation, a message revealing God's plan that he always had, but that plan was about to come to fruition. Now, we're going to do our next scene two, the message of hope. Now, this time, did you sit down, Stephen? I need Angel Gabriel again. I need a Mary. Can I have a Mary? Anybody want to be a Mary? Thanks, Alex. Okay, so how do we start this one? So we're going to start off with maybe Mary would like to sit in her little Galilean house. No. Yes. Okay. Off stage again, I think.
Off stage.
Yeah, again. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You can't appear if you're already here. Okay. Thus spake the seraph. Well, that's what the angel said. Scene two, the message of hope. And so Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, became pregnant. And a few months later, God had another message for the angel Gabriel to give. This time to a relative of Elizabeth, a young woman, not more than a girl really, who was pledged to be married to a carpenter called Joseph. The girl was called Mary, and she lived in Nazareth in the area of Galilee.
"Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you."
Now Mary, just like Zechariah, had never seen an angel before, and she too was troubled by this. But Gabriel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
And Mary said to the angel,
"How will this be, as I am a virgin?"
"The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail.
And Mary believed the word of Gabriel and said,
I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me fulfilled.
And the angel left her. Now, that wasn't in the script, was it? No, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, we've got one more scene of Thus Spake the Seraph. And this is the message of reassurance. So this time, I do need another angel. It may or may not have been Gabriel. We don't know. It doesn't say Gabriel in the Bible, so it just says an angel. But I need another angel, and I need Joseph. So I'd like, if that's okay, two more volunteers. Okay, so if you could be the angel, please. And Joseph needs his glasses. Sorry, Colin. There you go. Thank you very much. All right, we're now into scene three. God's promise to Mary, of course, came true, and although she was not yet married to Joseph, she became pregnant in a miraculous way, was now carrying the baby Jesus. This was amazing news. Incredible news. Fantastic news. But for Joseph, it was perhaps unbelievable news. And to Joseph. Joseph was troubled. He had hoped that he would be the father of all Mary's children. And now he found she was pregnant. He knew he wasn't the dad, and he was not sure he wanted to keep the promise to marry Mary after all.
I can't believe Mary. How could she get pregnant? I thought she just wanted to marry me, and we were going to live happily together. And now, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to end the engagement. I can't bring up someone else's child. But I don't want to get Mary into trouble. I think I'll end it just quietly.
And then Joseph went to sleep. Doesn't actually say that. In fact, I just want to clarify. Many of what you've heard the actors say have been scripture. That wasn't. Okay, I made that up. So Joseph lies down and goes to sleep. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Thank you. So, thanks very much indeed, actors. So we've had a message of preparation with Zechariah. We've had a message of hope. I'm not sure I highlighted that. Message of hope brought to Mary. The message that Jesus was going to be born. The message that Jesus, the hope of the world, was coming. Was given to Mary and that she was chosen to bear him as a child. And then for poor old Joseph, who suddenly found himself thinking, oh my goodness, what's happened? An angel brought God's message of reassurance to him. So those are three messages already that we've looked at. We're going to look at some more. Now, I need quite a lot of actors and actresses in this one, but there's only one speaking part other than the narrator. So you don't need to be embarrassed. You can come up. In fact, I think it'd be really good if, you know, the younger people, why don't you come? Why don't you come and join me? You know you want to. You've been itching. Come on. Okay, all right. Don't let it be said that I put pressure on anybody. Okay, so I do need an angel. Who would like to be an angel? Okay, Ruth, you can be an angel. There we go. If the angel would like to come off scene, I need a Mary and a Joseph. Okay, a Mary and... Come on, guys. Okay, so somewhere amongst this throng, there's a Mary and a Joseph, okay? And we need some shepherds. And maybe we need an Augustus Caesar. So, see, there's your throne over there, Augustus. If you like, here's Caesar. He's got a really important role in this scene. And so are you guys going to be shepherds? You're a shepherd. Which one's Mary? Okay, I've got three shepherds called Mary. And it's okay. So amongst this throng, there's a Mary and a Joseph. Okay, you can choose in your mind which one's which. And okay, here we go. Thus spake the seraph. But mainly I mean, shepherds are the main thing here. Okay, so you can all be shepherds, but you could be Mary and Joseph. Okay. Thus spake the seraph. That's what the angel said. Scene 4, Act 1. The message of good news. All this took place at a time when the land of Israel was governed by the Roman Empire, and Caesar Augustus, I think he probably deserves a boo as well. Caesar Augustus, sorry Daniel. Caesar Augustus decided to hold a census, that's a count of everybody, of the entire Roman world. So everyone had to go to their own town to register. So Joseph went from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby Jesus to be born. Nearby, out in the fields, there were some shepherds keeping watch over their sheep. Thank you. Nothing much happens out there in the fields. No one ever calls. No one ever visits. Well, someone visited that night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I've never seen such terror. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will become great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour will be born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger."
Thank you. Big bow. Big round of applause. Thank you, Caesar. That was the message of good news. The angels brought to the shepherds. Good news for them. Good news for the nation. Good news for us even now. What's the line after "thus spake the seraph"? "And forthwith appeared a shining throng." That means, and then some more angels turned up. And guess who's playing the part of all the throng of angels? Yay! So we are, so this is scene 4, act 2, the message of peace. "And forthwith appeared a shining throng. Suddenly a great company," if you want to stand, get ready for this. "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, altogether, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Thank you, angels. Please take your seat. Okay, we've got one more scene to our little sketch, but I need at least 4 people. Come. Wee, look at this. All keen to speak. Wow. Okay. We were all going to boo Herod, weren't we? Yeah. Tim! Maybe you'd like to be Herod. There we go. I need two wise men or ladies. Here we go. You can be the... So that's the Magi, yeah? Magi number 1 and Magi number 2. Yeah? So that's going to be your line there. And I need an angel. Can you be the other 2 Magi? So you're all very, very wise people. Okay. So these are the 4 wise people, and this is our angel, and this is Herod. Okay. So, "thus spake the seraph." That's what the angel said. Scene 5. The message of protection. There was one more angel message in the Christmas story, although this happened sometime later. Magi, or the ones we call the wise people, came from the east to Jerusalem to find Jesus. They had seen a star rise some 2 years earlier, which was a sign to them that the Messiah had been born.
"Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star when he rose and have to come worship him."
You remembered I mentioned Herod at the start? Well, he heard about this. And he was not at all pleased. So he started a plan to find out exactly where Jesus was.
So
he's talking to the Magi.
Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him.
But Herod... Don't do that to the angel. But Herod never intended to worship Jesus. After the Magi had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star led them to where Jesus was. And there they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so our final message, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. Did I have a Joseph? I forgot. Joseph. No, Joseph? Yes, Joseph. And appeared to Joseph and said, appeared to Joseph in a dream and said,
"Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother, escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search the child to kill him."
And a big bow. Well done, actors. Thank you very much. Sorry, Tim. So I want to apologise to both Mannings, because you were both the people who got the booze today. That was the message of protection. So God sent an angel to give a message to Joseph to protect the baby Jesus, because Herod was going to search for him to kill him. So what did we learn? Zechariah at the start, and this is something that we looked at a couple of weeks ago in the adult church. The angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and brought a message of preparation. We had Mary, and Gabriel again came to Mary. We know the story well. Told her that she was going to carry the baby Jesus, and that was a message of hope for the world. He then appeared, or an angel appeared then, to Joseph to reassure him that this was God's plan. This has always been God's plan, and that he was to take Mary as his wife still and bring up the baby Jesus, support him as his earthly father. The angels appeared. Verse 1 appeared to the shepherds out in the fields and told them the good news that the baby Jesus had been born. God's plan of salvation was now... It was a reality, the baby had been born, and then all the angels appeared and sang a message of peace and praise to God. And then finally, when Herod had his plan to kill Jesus, and we know what happened with all the young boys in the area, God sent a message via an angel to protect the baby Jesus and take him off to Egypt. So what can we learn for ourselves? Because this is all very interesting, and it is interesting how God uses angels, but, you know, what about us? What about us? Angels serve God. We've mentioned this already. Angels serve God around his throne, and they fulfill his purposes on earth. They come and they bring messages, and sometimes they protect people, and they surround us, although we don't see them. Angels are around. We mentioned before that angels have been used in battle to protect God's people in the Old Testament and sort of just knock open prison doors for Peter to walk out. We might meet one. We might meet an angel. Maybe we won't here on earth, but maybe we will. The writer to the book of Hebrews said, "Don't forget to entertain strangers, because for so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." So kind of, I'm guessing that for those angels, they didn't have six wings covered with eyes and faces of oxes and lions and eagles. They probably looked fairly human-like. And also, when the women went to the tomb after Jesus had been crucified, he said that there were two men dressed in white who met them. Going to assume that they were angels. I think if they'd had wings, they might have made a note of that. They probably had a human form. So we may not know. But we will worship with them in heaven. We will certainly worship with them. We must never worship angels. And there's a warning, Colossians, do not let anyone who delights in the false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you from the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he's seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up. But we for sure will worship with angels, worship around the throne of God when we find ourselves in his presence, whenever that might be. But we will be there with him. But our trust in Jesus, we will worship alongside these other created beings, and we will give our glory to God. They are mysterious creatures. I don't claim to know really very much about angels. You know, they have all kinds of strange appearances and do strange things. They have the ability to be in the heavenly realms and then appear in you know, this realm, on this earth, and they seem to be able to transition between the two. That is a mystery, is it not? But there's aspects about us that they find a mystery too. Our relationship with God, what God has done for us in sending the Lord Jesus. Concerning this salvation, this saving that God has done for us, this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with greatest of care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them, the prophets of old, that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And then it says, even angels long to look into these things. This message, this plan of salvation of God for us is a mystery even to angels. It's so amazing what God has done. The angels, they see God and they worship him. They're created beings that they worship God around the throne. And they probably look down at us and think, why does God love these people? They make all these mistakes. And God asks us to go and support them. And we'll do that because the Lord directs us to do so. We will. But my goodness, it's a mystery to us how God loves us. But he does. And he sends his angels to support us. Let's just pray together, shall we? Lord, we thank you that whilst we trust you, and we thank you that we can put our hope and our trust entirely in you as our Lord and as our Saviour and as our guardian, as our champion, as our King of Kings, Lord. Thank you that at times you have chosen to protect us and to speak to us through others that we may not understand and we may not fully appreciate all that is in your creation, Lord. But we thank you that the message to us is always the message that comes from your heart, because the angels are ministering spirits fulfilling your will and bringing your message to us. So we thank you, Lord, that if we ever hear a message from an angel, help us to discern the message that you are saying to us. Lord, pray that this time, in this place, you would help us to be messengers also, messengers of a preparation, messengers of hope, messengers of reassurance, messengers of good news, messengers of peace, messengers of protection. Help us, Lord, to be the voice of God as you direct us, Lord, in this community, in this place. Amen.